The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is pre-recorded.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hello there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, or so they tell me. Part of what I like to do on this show is introduce my audience, which would be you, technically, to people that I've gotten to know, to new friends, new ideas. Recently, I was in Birmingham, Alabama, with my friend Larry Taunton. He's with the Fixed Point Foundation. He's been on this program many times. And we were doing a conference there, and he brought a few people to the conference as speakers whose work I was unfamiliar with. One of them is C.L. Bryant. And I had such a fun time getting to know C.L. Bryant that I said, hey, you know, it'd be a nice gesture to let my audience know who C.L. Bryant is and to bless you as I have been blessed. So my guest for the day, C.L. Bryant. C.L., welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Thank you so much for the invitation, and I'm glad to be here with you, Eric.
Well, we had fun with Larry Taunton in Birmingham. And part of the fun for me was getting to know you. And so let me tell my audience, you've been a minister for over 35 years. You're in Shreveport, Louisiana. You were the president of the NAACP. I want to ask you about that. You made a film, an award-winning film called Runaway Slave. I want to talk to you about that. You've written a book called A Race for Freedom. You're a senior fellow with Freedom Works, and you're the host of the C.L. Bryant Show. So if somebody doesn't know anything about you, I've just listed a bunch of things, but tell us, I mean, I know a little bit about this, but I want my audience to get to know you. Where did you grow up? How did you come to be serious about your faith, about your conservative view of political situation? What's your story?
Growing up in a middle-class black home, upper-middle-class black home, I was privileged as a child growing up in America. And many of us don't realize that the middle-class black Americans in this country have indeed benefited from the fruits of liberty. Only one side of that is shown, and my life story is one that shows a conservative core value rooted and grounded in faith, the church. I'm a child of the 60s. I was born in the late 50s. And so I grew up in an era when America was changing. And of course, my parents were activists. They were a part of that change. My father was in the restaurant business and all of that. Some people will say that, well, maybe you've never seen the other side of it. Well, yes, we have, because all of our parents and so forth who came to this country, regardless of how we got here, have experienced struggles, and so have mine. But it led me through the NAACP and led me also to the Tea Party, this lifestyle of mine and this life that I've led in this great land of America. And that's the story that I was telling when you and I were in Birmingham together. And I do admire your work as well, Eric, as so many millions of us do. And I'm just so happy to be here to share as much of it as I possibly can with you of my life.
Well, part of what our friend Larry Taunton did in organizing this conference was help us to get to know each other, not just you and me, but the other folks who were there. It's important, actually, that we know who is out there, who's working on the same team, what is their story. When you mentioned growing up in a middle class or upper middle class home, we're living in a time right now that makes it sound like being middle class or upper middle class is white. That's how crazy things are. There is a group of people on the pretty radical left who are redefining everything. And they're defining blackness not about the color of your skin, but about an attitude. It's kind of a Marxist attitude. It's a kind of a, you know, an attitude that's kind of mired in poverty. And it's all kinds of bad stuff. But you said that your father was in the restaurant business. Tell me about your upbringing. Tell me about how you got to be where you are, how you came into the ministry.
My upbringing was one, as I said, centered around the church. I grew up Baptist, born Catholic, but I grew up Baptist in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I'm blessed to live in Florida now. But just the same, my ministry began when I got married. And as a child of privilege, many times you get into trouble. Because there's hardly any trouble you can get into that your father, who is, a person of influence, can't get you out of. And so my ministry began actually when I got involved with a bad crowd. And I realized that this is not the way God had intended things for me to be, and went through a period of rebellion, as a lot of teenagers do. But here in America, if you are able to apply the content of your true character, then God will bless the rest of it. And unfortunately here, you said the definitions are being changed. And you know, Eric, when we talk about the definitions being changed, you also change destinations when you change definitions. And unfortunately, white Americans in this country are allowing the definition of what those old white men, the Franklins, the Jeffersons, the Hancocks, Alexanders, when they signed on to this declaration of a new country, they defined something. They made it a definition. And even those of us who were in chains at the time could see that freedom was all around them. And if they could only become a part of that, that is the type of home I grew up in. Helping me to understand that freedom is all around you. And they didn't go through what they went through so that I could be black. My parents always instilled in me that they went through what they went through for me so that I could be free. And I am a free man. And it's because I was raised in a home to help myself look at myself, help me look at myself as a free man. And so that may be the difference in some of the upbringing of some today and some that were brought up in my ethnicity in years gone by.
Tell us what Freedom Works is. I mean, I've certainly heard of Freedom Works, but I realized when I met you in Birmingham, I didn't know too much about it. Tell my audience what Freedom Works is.
Freedom Works is one of the largest, if not the largest, grassroots organization in the nation. We boast 6 million activists plus around the country. And my job as senior fellow of Freedom Works, I've been involved with them for 12 years. It'll be 13 actually this year since the Tea Party movement began. We're actually one of the fathers of the Tea Party movement. And we brought 1.5 million activists to Washington, D.C. At least they descended to an event that we put on back in 2009 on 9/11. And friends, I have to tell you that if you want to get involved, motivated, and involved in the process of saving our republic, go to freedomworks.org, freedomworks.org. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Rev C. L. Bryant. Thank you for that, Eric.
Rev C. L. Bryant. So let's be clear. C. L. stands for Cleon Lewis. I got a big smile on my face when you said Cleon, because when I was, you know, watching the Mets as a kid, one of their home run hitters was Cleon Jones, and I have not heard that name in a while. So your name is Cleon Lewis. You go by C. L. Bryant. I want to ask you also about the film Runaway Slave. Talk about that and where people can watch it. This is important.
It is, because it is a film that was way before its time. Everyone is in it, from Dr. Thomas Sowell, Glenn Beck, Herman Cain, Alan West, Star Parker, Alveda King. Everyone's in this film. And even Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are in it. You can go to Runaway Slave.
But we should watch it anyway, you're telling me?
Absolutely. Watch it. or you can get it off Amazon. And if we
runaway slave, well, tell me. So you came out 10 years ago, won a lot of awards. Tell folks about it because I know a lot of people won't have seen it. So we want to make that possible for them to check it out, so they get to know you too.
Absolutely. It's a movie that directs the way for black people to recognize the type of tyranny that has been surrounding them for the last 60 years.
CL, forgive me. I thought we were in a longer segment. Folks, let's put a pin in it. We'll be right back with CL Bryant talking about his film Runaway Slave.
Love is a burning thing.
Hey folks, are you concerned about memory loss for you or a loved one? Viva Laura's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss because her mother had dementia. After many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan Gibson created Viva Laura Memory Support. Viva Laura is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit VivaLaura.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. VivaLore is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. That's VivaLore, VivaLore.com. Check it out. Remember, VivaLore is a premium quality, all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R at VivaLore.com. Enter promo code 20 for 20% off. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to C.L. Bryant. I just cut him off. He was talking about his film Runaway Slave. C.L., tell us again about the film Runaway Slave, because I didn't know about it, and I know that it won tons of awards. You were just describing it. Please continue.
Well, it is one that has shown the way for black people to recognize the type of bondage that has been designed for them over a period of years, starting back in the Johnson administration in the modern age, and going all the way back to Booker T. Washington and that crowd. We were, of course, talking about the design being put in place even then. And so there are certain hustlers that have benefited since the time of Booker T. Washington up until this present day, who make a living off of keeping the races divided. Runaway Slave is a film that does show how it's necessary now for people of courage to stand up, push back, and run away from a system that has been nothing more than a vehicle of bondage for a demographic of people and has led them actually to what you do see in the inner city, on the reservations, and anywhere you see poverty in large cities that are run by Democrats or those who are of liberal slant. You'll see this type of bondage that they have people in, because the exercising of American freedom is not readily available in their minds. It's available, but their minds have been captured by this design that progressive liberals over the period of time have placed on them.
Well, so help us understand. I mean, I don't think that people like President Johnson and others are really aware of what they're doing. In other words, many of them, they have good intentions, but they have bought into an idea, which you know and I know, is harmful. It does not help people, but it makes you feel good if you think it helps people. It makes you think like, well, I'm doing something, and I'm doing. And the fact is, what you're doing is you're hurting people. So, what is this idea when you talk about it's a modern form of bondage? It's not chattel slavery, but it is keeping people down. There's a kind of a system that is keeping people down, and if they wake up. As you are awake, and many people, you mentioned the people in Runaway Slave, they understand that the system is not helping. This, the Democrats have bought into this. Their cities are in the most just clear failure. It's just astonishing. But what are those ideas? What are those bad ideas that they keep selling over and over, and they keep promising if we could just do this and do this, this, it, finally we're going to get through. It's kind of like the communists talking about, you know, we're going to have a utopia, you know, right around the corner, and decades pass and we never get anywhere near it. It gets worse.
Black people in this country, Eric, are the only demographic that has become, allowed themselves in many ways, become mascots of a governmental system. And Frederick Douglass once said, if the Negro falls, let him fall. He'll get up again. The Irish came here, and yes, they were persecuted, even though they didn't come in chains. The Italians came. They were persecuted. Jews were persecuted as well. They had their own way of falling, but they got up again on their own without government assistance. The truth of the matter is, there was a time in this country when the black marriage rate was actually higher than the white marriage rate. It was a disgrace for a black girl to have a child out of wedlock, but we didn't kill the child. We'd send the child off to Aunt B or somewhere up in Detroit, and all of a sudden Sally comes back home and Aunt B has a new baby. We didn't kill our children, is what I'm trying to get across to you. There has become a culture of death since government has become daddy in the homes of underprivileged and black people. Government has become the father figure too many times and has driven out the true father figure of the black community in the inner city in particular. And this is, you can't tell me that this is not something, even though the road to hell is paved sometimes with good intention, but you can't tell me that this is something that is not by design. When you're looking at the abortion rate in the black community is 43%, and the population rate of the black community in America is only 12.8. How can that be upside down if there's not a design in elimination of a certain group of people, weeding them out, as Margaret Sanger has so historically said?
Well, I mean, we're talking about some basic things. You just mentioned something, and this to me is the, you know, the headline in what you just said, because there's so much important stuff. But you just said that the marriage rate was way up in black communities. There were black-owned businesses, on and on and on. That history, and you know this, C.L. Bryant, has been erased. No one knows or talks about that. We act as though blacks have been oppressed from slavery straight up to the present time. And you're saying, well, yeah, there's injustices, but somehow black communities were doing amazing things until the 60s, and a narrative took over. The Johnson administration and others brought in the welfare state. And that's when we began to see a level of social decay that is just horrifying. It's the grand tragedy of America. But tell us about that past that has been swept under the rug, because no one seems to know about this. Nobody talks about it.
Let's talk about it then, Eric. Before integration, and I'm not saying that integration's bad, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I didn't get smarter sitting next to a white kid. And I was in the first wave in 1968, Lakeshore Junior High, as it was then, Shreveport, Louisiana, of kids to integrate Lakeshore Junior High. There was obvious tension, because not of the kids, but because of the parents who have pretty much poisoned both sides of these children, both black and white. But before integration, the black community had its own everything. In Shreveport, we had our own movie theaters, we had our own dress shops, and of course you had your funeral parlors, you had your restaurants that were visited, of course, by whites as well. The business end of it was booming. Why? Because it was necessary. You couldn't go to JCPenney's. You couldn't go. There was no. You couldn't go to Sears. And if you did, you had to stand in line behind white folks until they were waited on before you got waited on. So out of necessity. And that's what America is all about, is taking advantage of the free market. And that's what FreedomWorks is all about, showing the way to exercise the free market. And yes, that wonderful word called capitalism, that is the host that the socialist parasites ride upon. That's the back that they ride upon. And in the black community, we took advantage of that up until we were able to go to JCPenney's, up until we were able to go to Sears or eat at any restaurant that we wanted to eat at. And the oddest thing is, Eric, is that now that we're able to do all those things, there seem to be people who want to resegregate and go back to that room of the past where all of us seem to like to live, in that very comfortable room of the past.
Well, it's amazing. You're talking about so many things. This is so important. But the history of black people in America, when we talk about, you know, the Reconstruction period and the early parts of the 20th century, there were thriving black communities, thriving black businesses, thriving families and marriages. And again, that history has effectively been wiped out. You simply don't hear about that. It's not part of the narrative. The left has really said, we don't want to go there because it says some things that maybe don't help our cause. So we'll basically suppress that history.
It is by purpose. There is a purpose in that. The only thing you ever hear about Black Wall Street in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is when it was burned down by mad white folks. But you never hear about how it became Black Wall Street. You see, they always want you to remember your past, where you came from. They don't ever want you to remember how far you came and where you're going. Because in the past, yes, you were slaves. In the past, yes, there were inequities in America. But that's not where we are. And that's certainly not where we could go if we would unlock ourselves, unchain ourselves from that past.
So you don't believe in systemic racism?
It was a system. I've written on the back of the bus, Eric. I've drank from colored and white water fountains. I've drank from them both. And I got to tell everybody who thinks the white water fountains were different, the water was the same. And so this is something that was systemic in that day and time. But we have arrived at a place where the color of my skin, whereas it dictated that I sat on the back of the bus back when I was 9-10 years old, it dictated that I drank from the water, dip my water fountain, or go to my bathroom, or Negro Day at the state fair in Louisiana, one day out of 2 weeks. That was systemic. But the color of my skin now, and this is the truth of the whole matter, Eric, the color of my skin now, there is nothing in America that I want to do that the color of my skin would stop me from doing.
I want to, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back to continue this with C.L. Bryant. Don't go away. Got to be a joker. He just do what he... Hey, folks, I'm talking to C.L. Bryant. He's the host of the C.L. Bryant Show. Who did you think was going to be the host of the C.L. Bryant Show, if not C.L. Bryant? C.L. Bryant, you were just making an important point about so-called systemic racism. You said there's nothing in America that the color of your skin will prevent you from being able to accomplish today. So why do people talk about this thing called systemic racism? What are they saying, and how are they getting that wrong?
Again, I refer back to my fellow citizens in America who happen to be white by label in this country. You are allowing the narrative, your birthright, to be stolen from you. You are being hoodwinked, swindled, and bamboozled by a redefining of who we have been in America and where that has brought us to. The greatest nation on all the earth is America, and we were looking at the fiasco in Afghanistan and all that. But it was in the minds of white European men. That's a fact. Don't run from that. And black folks, don't run from the idea that we contributed heavily, even to this present time, in the growth of this nation. If there is a conspiracy of America being an evil country, then black folks, you have been a co-conspirator in doing that, even in times when you were told what to do. You are now at a point where you have choices. All of us do. That's the beauty of America. Anyone with a great idea, doesn't matter who your father was, anyone with a great idea in America can make money. That's what Black Wall Street was all about. There were people making money. In America today, 2021, heading for 2022 very quickly, there is nothing, Eric Metaxas, that the color of my skin in this country would stop me from doing. Stop my grandfather.
I just got to ask you a question here, because you sound very optimistic. Do you think that America will ever overcome its systemic racism enough where someday in the future the white people in America might elect a black president? Do you think that's going to happen?
You know, Eric, that's something that seems so far-fetched, doesn't it?
It doesn't seem possible, because the racist whites will never go for that. You understand that,
yeah,
CL.
Not the racist white people who could elect the first black president, I guess, if they wanted to. Those racist white people could elect the first black president in the future, Eric. If, in fact, they could ever get their act together there in that racist country called.
I just don't see it happening. I just think you're being way too optimistic. So we've had a black president, and that black president bought into ideas that you are outing as anti-black. This is the irony, isn't it? In other words, that we're being told these are good ideas, these are bad ideas, these are black ideas, these are... Well, ironically, anybody with cultural Marxist view or a leftist view, BLM at the top of the list, their ideas are harmful to blacks. But somehow, because of the way the media goes, they're able to act as though this is what black people say, this is what they want. Same thing with the women's movement, the women's march the day after Trump was inaugurated. It was not a women's march. It was an anti-Trump march. But minority groups in this country, they sort of ally with the left in saying, we speak for black people, we speak for women. You know that Al Sharpton doesn't speak for your average black, but somehow he has been able to get away with pushing that idea.
You see, what we need to understand and realize, wake up to, Eric, is this. If Antifa or Black Lives Matter or Al Sharpton, for that matter, is right, then Rosa Parks, Medgar Evers, and Dr. Martin Luther King, even Malcolm X, they have to be wrong. You see, there's a stolen valor that's going on in America today. One of the things that I really despise and hate is when someone says that they served in our nation's uniform as a soldier and then is found out that they were not. That's stealing the valor of those who wear the uniform. And this is what you are seeing in those movements we've just named, like BLM and Antifa and even the Al Sharpton of this world. They are stealing valor from those who actually did pay the price. There is some twisted idea that you can relive the civil rights movement. No, that room of the past that I mentioned in just a moment or two ago, we like to spend a lot of time in that room of the past. All of us do. We have three rooms that all of us live in, but that's the one we love to spend time in, is that room of the past. And there's not a picture. There's not a piece of furniture. There's not a moment that you can change in that room of the past. Why do they want to keep us trapped there. Why do they want to keep us thinking about that? When you're thinking about that, the pain, you don't think about that child that is yours, that wife that has borne that child, or that woman that has borne that child. When you're thinking about how much pain and suffering you've been through to get here, you feel like you almost deserve to leave them to their own pain and suffering. And that's where liberals, socialists, Democrats have led the black community. But there is an awakening that is going on as we speak. And I thank you that you allow me this opportunity to speak and on this platform, because it is something that need to be heard, I do believe, and it is a conversation that need to be had.
We are talking to C.L. Bryant. The film is Runaway Slave. Much else. Don't go away. Hey there, folks. I am talking to C.L. Bryant, host of the C.L. Bryant Show, the filmmaker behind Runaway Slave, and the author of a book, A Race for Freedom. Talk about that, C.L. The book, A Race for Freedom, which you wrote, is that pretty much a reprisal of the ideas that we're talking about today, in case somebody wants to hear more about this?
Very much so. You can get it on Amazon, or you can go to runawayslavemovie.com as well and find it there. It is a book that outlines how America has been established for a race of people who would understand the value of liberty and freedom. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among them is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We don't know whose face Jefferson had in mind when he penned those words, but we do know this. I know this for certain. When he wrote those words, he guaranteed that the day would come, if we were true to those words, that I'd be here speaking with you, Eric, and you'd be speaking with me in a free America. That is the race for freedom. That is a race for freedom that has been established on this earth. And it is a race of people, Americans, who, in fact, have created the greatest nation together on the face of the planet. Red, yellow, black, and white, whoever you are in this country, you have been a part of this great experiment that has worked up to this point. If we stay true to who we were founded to be, if we don't change the definitions, if we don't allow people to change the definitions of who we were founded to be, we will remain the greatest beacon of hope on the world and in the world.
And we need to be clear, too, that, you know, when you're talking about the ideas of the founders who were all white men, the ideas were not white. Those are American ideas. I will go even farther. Those ideas don't only belong to America. They belong to God. If anything is good, it is of God. And it does not have a color. It does not have a nationality. Truth is truth. And the idea that people would get so pinched and circumscribed by their views that they would say, well, those are white ideas. And you think, if it's true, it's true for you. And why would you throw it away? But I mean, we have so much anger that people are saying that just because I don't like that group of people or I don't like this, I'm going to throw away their good ideas. Biden has done it with Trump's plan for Afghanistan. They do it with if Trump talks about hydroxychloroquine, they go, because he said it, I hate it. Instead of thinking about what is right and what is wrong and what works, people are just animated by emotion. And so when you talk about these ideas, and it's called A Race for Freedom, your book, you're saying that it's about ideas that are make us free. It has nothing to do, but you see this going on with the 1619 Project, an attempt to redefine everything as though truth is not truth, as though what Thomas Jefferson wrote isn't true for every person of every color.
Absolutely right. That you're absolutely right, Eric. That is not a white idea. It is an idea given to the creations of the Creator, according to Jefferson. It is a right that has set us free. And when we talk about 1619 Project, most Americans don't even realize the absurdity of founding this type of argument in 1619, when America did not become a nation until the Constitution in 1789 was actually ratified. 1776, we declared our independence. 1789, the Constitution was ratified. America was a country. 86 years after America became a country, it began to live up to those founding documents that we all are created equal. Slavery went away in 86 years, not 400 years. No, it wasn't 400 years. It was 86 years after the founding of this nation that we had the war that has never happened in any country, where a country goes to war against itself in order to free people that are in bondage. Those white soldiers who marched north or marched south with their guns in hand, they may have never even seen a black slave. They didn't know what this was all about. They just know that liberation was in order here. That's what we are. That's how we have become the greatest nation on earth, is exercising our freedoms.
Well, it's amazing what we're talking about. I mean, this country, when you think about slavery, slavery is not a color issue. There have been slaves since the dawn of humanity. There has been evil and sin and humans oppressing humans. So the idea that it's a racial thing is just preposterous. I mean, when I wrote my book, Amazing Grace, about Wilberforce and the campaign to end the slave trade in the British Empire, it was so obvious when you look into it that there were black Africans selling and enslaving other black Africans. It had nothing to do with color. So it's really a bizarre racial, to the point of racist, retelling of American history. 1619 Project is just, it's a wicked fiction, but the left and the media, who seem to be going out of their way in terms of their ignorance to not simply to not look at facts, they keep promoting this ridiculous idea. We've just got a minute left, CL. I don't know if you want to respond to that.
Absolutely, I will. It is, again, time for all of us to stand up and push back, and above all, tell the American story. Tell the story how this nation has become a great nation, not because of the words written by old white men, but because of the principles that this country, this nation has been built upon. And Eric, I want to thank you again for having me on the show. I pray that God will bless and keep you in your work and whatever you're doing. I pray that God will order your steps in his word. And it's good to be your friend and make your acquaintance. And hey, I believe that we're going to have you on our show real soon. Eric Metaxas, you got to come on.
I look forward to it. You know I would. And one of the further debts that I owe Larry Taunton is introducing us. Just a pleasure to get to know you folks. You can follow C.L. Bryant on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Rev C.L. Bryant. The book is A Race for Freedom. The film is Runaway Slave. God bless you, my friend C.L. Bryant. To be continued.
Show you this, I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help.
Sailing away on the crest of a wave, it's like magic.
Hey, folks, this is a reminder. While we're doing this program, talking to different guests and all that kind of thing, I want to remind you, the world's going crazy. We're seeing evil things happening. So here's what we do. We trust God. Now, if you don't trust God, you've got big problems. I can't get into that right now. But the fact is that God is God. That doesn't change. Circumstances change. another good thing you can do is ignore the chaos and do something good for someone. We always want to provide opportunities for you to do that. So Albin and I and a lot of people at the Salem News Network, we go to Food for the Poor because they are an organization we've worked with for a long time. Right now, we've got what? This is the last week, basically. Yes, so we have days left to raise funds for kids and families in Haiti. I want to say it again, that this is a nonprofit relief organization, Food for the Poor, who deliver emergency food and medicine in Haiti. They're trying to get emergency help to parts of the country. They now need help from the U.S. military. There's a Pentagon spokesman, John Kirby, talking about what's happening in Haiti right now. And by the way, I want to be clear, we are feeding kids who are malnourished and some of them starving. So we want you to go to our website, metaxastalk.com. This is a good thing that you can do today in the midst of all the chaos in the world. So we're asking you to do that. Let's play the John Kirby clip.
We know there is much more work to do in Haiti to help the Haitian people, and we're committed to being there and to doing that for as long as possible. We're very proud of all the men and women of the department that are assisting in this effort and truly making a difference on the ground.
Well, I also want to say this: things are so bad there that you've got all kinds of people. If you can believe it, Sean Penn, you can believe it because he's a person with a big heart. I don't agree with him politically, but when it comes to suffering kids, sometimes you got to get politics out of it. So, Sean Penn, the actor, was in Haiti. Let's play the Sean Penn clip.
We have been from day one with heavy equipment crews still finding bodies. It's really awful, the circumstances there. It's very complicated. Medical teams are treating hundreds of people, both from very traumatic injuries to now increasingly gastrointestinal issues due to the rains and so on, you know, from infants to elderly.
Well, anyway, I just want to say everybody is in agreement. They need our help, and this is a good thing that we can do. And again, I want to say that sometimes you have to get your focus away from the news and think about what can I do today. Turn off the radio, turn off the whatever, and just say, what can I do? Helping these kids and families in Haiti is something you can do. It is an unmitigated good in the midst of the madness. So we're asking you, partner with us. We partner with Food for the Poor. Go to our website. I'll give you the phone number in a minute, but we have $37, 37 American dollars. If you give that amount, feeds a kid for 6 months. Amazing as that is true. That's how far Food for the Poor stretches your dollars. And obviously, things are so bad because of the earthquake recently, the storm. So please go to metaxastalk.com. Give what you can. There's all kinds of stuff there. If you want to give, by the way, monthly, that's tremendously helpful. It's very little per month. And it really adds up. But we've only got days left in this campaign. So I just want to urge you, if you haven't done it, thanks to those of you who have done it. Here's a phone number if you prefer to call: 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. This is a good thing you can do today, folks. 844-863-HOPE. You're literally saving lives in Haiti. Think about that for a second in the midst of the craziness in the news. 844-863-HOPE, or go to metaxastalk.com. Many of you have already given. I want to say thank you, and God bless you, folks, and God bless America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.